Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. This truth is the cornerstone of Christianity. Without it, there is no Christ, there is no gospel, there is no church. Yet many, even good Christians, are embarrassed by this proclamation. We struggle because reason and the laws of nature challenge our conviction. The experiment isn't repeatable. The claim doesn't make sense. In science and philosophy, dead people do not live again. But isn't this what makes it a miracle? This is the real problem, isn't it? What are we to do with miracles? The philosopher Spinoza argued the church branded as heretics, scientists and philosophers who sought to understand the things of nature and seek out the causes of miracles, because once ignorance had been enlightened, wonderment would vanish. And wonderment in matters of nature and the divine was the means by which the church preserved its authority and power. Like the Wizard of Oz, 17th century clerics didn't want you to peek behind the curtain. Though the church no longer holds the authority it did in Spinoza's day, and science won the battle of the Enlightenment, in our times there remains an appreciation of wonderment. Yet even in our post-Enlightenment world, we know how foolish people can look who believe without question in miracles. So we live in this awkward place between reason and faith. In his book, Listening to Your Life, Frederick Buechner reflects on our meager attempts to make sense of, thereby diminishing, the miracle of Christ's resurrection. For Buechner, Christ's resurrection is all or nothing. He writes, "We can say that the story of the resurrection means simply that the teachings of Jesus are immortal, like the plays of Shakespeare or the music of Beethoven, and that their wisdom and truth will live on forever. Or we can say that the resurrection means that the spirit of Jesus is undying, that he himself lives on among us the way that Socrates does, for instance, in the good that he left behind him in the people who followed his great example. Or we can say that the language in which the Gospels describe the resurrection of Jesus is the language of poetry, and that as such it's not to be taken literally, but as pointing to a truth more profound than the literal. Very often I think this is the way the Bible is written, and I would point to some of the stories about the birth of Jesus, for instance, as examples. But in the case of the resurrection, this simply does not apply because there really is no story about the resurrection in the New Testament. Except in the most fragmentary way, it's not described at all. There's no poetry about it. Instead, it's simply proclaimed as fact. Christ is risen. In fact, the very existence of the New Testament itself proclaims it. Unless something very real took place on that strange, confused morning, there would be no New Testament, no church or Christianity. Yet we try to reduce it to poetry anyway. The coming of the spring with the return of life to the dead earth, the rebirth of hope in the despairing soul. We try to suggest that these are the miracles that the resurrection is all about. But they are not. In their way, they are all miracles, but they are not this miracle, this central one to which the whole Christian faith points. I agree with Dr. Buechner. If Christ was not raised from the dead, Christianity falls, Many of Christ's teachings, especially those related to power, make little sense if Christ is not risen from the dead. To speak poetically or even theologically apart from a bodily resurrection is meaningless. Either our God has the power to bring life from death or not. A metaphorical resurrection will not bring hope and new life to the dying. Only Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, can offer these things. I agree with Dr. Buechner, but I think it's important to welcome and not judge those who don't. As we hear in our reading from the Gospel of John this morning, the conviction that Christ is raised from the dead isn't something we can claim for ourselves. We can't make ourselves believe it. Such faith comes only by God's grace, in God's time. If we have received this faith, thanks be to God. But let us not forget there was a time, like Mary, Peter, and the other disciple, when we ourselves didn't know what to believe. John tells us early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed. It's hard to imagine what she felt, but we know what she believed. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. She believed someone had stolen his body. Peter and another disciple, possibly John, took off running to the tomb when they heard Mary's words. They had to see for themselves. It's hard to imagine what they felt. Anger, fear, grief. We'd like to think they had remembered Jesus' teachings and were running, hoping to see their risen Lord. But the text simply doesn't support such a reading. The other disciple arrives at the tomb first and looks inside, but he doesn't go in. When Peter arrives, they go in and see the burial linen and the cloth that covered Jesus' head. But Jesus was gone. All the signs were there. John even tells us when the other disciple entered and saw the tomb, he believed. But believed what? We'd like to think he believed Jesus had been raised from the dead. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he saw and believed, but because they did not understand, Jesus must rise from the dead, they returned home. They ran to the tomb, then saw Mary was right, someone had taken Jesus' body, and they went home for breakfast. Nothing to see here. They didn't understand. Mary stayed at the tomb weeping. She desperately needed to find Jesus' body. We understand this. Seeing the body brings the closure we need to get on with life. She looked in the tomb to see for herself where the body was gone. And behold, there were two angels. They weren't there a minute ago when Peter and the other disciple looked in. Where did they come from? What were they doing there? Why are you weeping, they ask. Mary doesn't seem to notice they're angels. She still believes someone has taken Jesus' body. They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. These are not the words of a woman looking for her risen Lord. She turns to leave and almost runs into Jesus. Woman, why are you weeping? whom are you looking for? Still, she doesn't see. She thinks Jesus is the gardener and asks where he has taken the body. The massive stone rolled away. The linen grave clothes, the folded cloth, the empty tomb, the missing body, the angels. None of these things led Mary to see her risen Lord. Life just doesn't work that way. She watched as he was crucified. She wept as his lifeless body was laid in the tomb. She just needed to see his body one last time to be sure. Touch his arm. Perhaps kiss his cheek. To know for sure, Jesus is dead. Then it happens. Jesus calls her by name, Mary. Immediately she knows Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Mary's worldview is shattered. In her world, where her beloved teacher's body was missing, into her world, where dead bodies were dead and could only be moved because someone had taken them, into her world, where death was the final word, came a word of hope, a word of new life. There's nothing reasonable about it. There's no logic to it. There is no way to make sense of it. The voice of Jesus, like a voice shattering glass, calls to her across a valley, past the shadow of death. The voice of Jesus, shattering all reason and logic, calls Mary to new life and a new future. Reason has been transcended by faith. Death has given way to life. It can only be understood for what it is. A miracle. A miracle which changes Mary's life forever. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen indeed. Friends, we're all here this morning for different reasons. Some of us are here to celebrate our risen Lord because, like Mary, we have heard Christ call our name. Some have come seeking, like Peter and the other disciple. We've heard something has happened here, and we want to find out what. We just can't take the leap of faith Mary has taken. For we have not heard Christ call our name. But just being here on Easter is important. Some of us are here simply to make Grandma happy. And that is good too. We have come for different reasons. But I wish you could see what I have seen, that we all might leave knowing Christ is risen. I wish you could see the women and men who faced their last days with courage and peace. I wish you could see their families who stand vigil by their bedside, bringing compassion and comfort. I wish you could see their friends and their faith community offering assurance and hope. For if you could see what I have seen, you would know Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. I wish you could visit with the longtime Presbyterians who've deepened their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Did you know Presbyterians could even have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Who've deepened their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, sharing with me their discovery that there is more to faith than just knowing about Jesus. I wish you could visit with the families who found participating in our life together just a little bit more and being just a little more intentional about sharing their faith with their children has made their family better. I wish you could visit particularly with the older members who, having no family nearby, have found a family here. If you could, you would know that Christ is present. So he must have risen. Beloved, there is so much I get to see that confirms my conviction Christ is risen. But I know there are things some of you have seen in life, in the church, that could very well cause me to question and wonder, like you do. For in fact, there are times that I do question and wonder. But for today, let me simply ask this. If you, like Mary, have heard Christ call your name, give thanks to God. And tell the world you have seen the Lord. But if you find yourself feeling more like Peter and the other disciple, just ready to go home and get some breakfast, having done your duty to God and Grandma, know that you are welcome here. Just keep your heart and mind open for the possibility one day Christ may call your name, shatter your worldview, and change your life forever. For Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Thanks be to God.